I'm Device from Astralis, and welcome to Foreign's YouTube channel. It's a choke-free zone.
When I'm reviewing tournament formats and deciding which ones are good, I do it on a case-by-case basis. Now, speaking of cases, if you like to open cases and you are an adult and it is appropriate for where you live in the world, you could use my code, Thorin, at CSGO Lock and get 10 free cases and a 100% bonus on your first deposit. Also, did you know, as well as fiat currency, they also do take crypto. So if you want to use crypto, you are more than welcome to do so with my code. Now, this year saw the return of third place matches, aka third place deciders, to the CS circuit, mainly in single elimination playoff tournaments, as I'll get to, obviously. So it was mainly the PGLs and EWC in terms of the big tournaments. So at PGL Cluj de Poker, we had the one where Astralis with Cadian, before they kicked him, managed to upset FaZe, who at the time people thought were going to be a contender. PGL Bucharest, we had the one where FaZe beat down the Complexity lineup without a Liege. That was kind of a shock to even be there. PGL Astana, we had Aurora beating Furia, which at the time was actually kind of like a 50-50 matchup. But I think most people do think Aurora is better now. And Furia, obviously, that's when they changed to Molodoy. And Yekindar were making like a miraculous run. And then most recently at EWC, we had the Falcons lineup with Kiyosuke. We're at one of a very limited number of teams this year on land to win a best of three against Vitality. They did actually upset Vitality in that series. Number one team in the world, all that jazz. Now, what's interesting is the reasoning given as to why third place games came back. There's another reason why, but I think the main reason that was sold was it's part of the VRS, isn't it? The Valve ranking system. It's a way of having another match that can determine, instead of both people just getting the equal set of points, who gets more points? Let's battle like you do in prize money for who gets a little bit extra and who gets less in that case. And so this was seen as a good thing. Like, it's another match. It's another like real series match. It's a LAN match. It's got VRS implications. A lot of people, I have to say, there was widespread cheering for this. Even on with Snake and Banter, someone who was a guest came on and gave, this is their good point, that third place games are coming. I've seen positive response across the industry, mainly before the third place matches actually were played, I will note, when it was just brought forth as an idea. But even when it was suggested last year, I saw a lot of people like, yeah, this is good, I'm glad it came along. Well, surprise, this is a narrative mechanic segment, and I think, as usual, everyone's wrong and I'm right. Well, nice to be Thorin, isn't it? Because here's the thing, boys, we used to have third place matches. They used to exist, and they went away with good reason, and I think that was a good thing, and I don't think them being brought back has been good. I've watched them, they aren't good matches, and I'll even just say this right at the outset. I just jogged your memory with a bunch of matches right there. How many of the third place games today, bearing in mind you're getting two teams that both made top four and were contending to maybe win the championship, how many of them are really memorable matches? How many of those matches would even get a sniff at being one of the matches of the year? How entertaining were they really? How much did they feel like a serious match? These are all questions I would actually just ask you. Maybe pause the video and think about it. Come up with some answers. See what you think. So, first things first. I think the context of why people were glad they returned and thought they were a good idea is actually largely based on how we currently schedule the last day of single elimination tournament formats, which, if you don't know, is basically all the tournaments in the Counter-Strike Tier 1 circuit. It's mainly games like League of Legends and Dota that use lower brackets, aka double elimination, in the actual playoffs. We tend to have like double elim in the group stages, except for PGL and ESWC, and then EWC. And then what we do is, once it makes the playoffs, we just do single elim. In fact, a lot of people even have the bye for the round of it, so there's only two matches there, then two semis, and then a final. So in this kind of a setup, what you did is then add another match, because what you do is, you tend to, in that 16 playoff format, go like this, don't you? You have the two quarterfinals or round of six on the first day of the playoffs. Then on the second day of the playoffs, you have the two semi-finals. And then on the last day, you have the final. But what comes before the final? You all know the answer if you've ever watched an IM. The show match. The dreaded show match. And remember, show matches sound like they should be awesome. Where have I heard that before? Oh, wait, third place deciders. I'll get to that. But the problem is they suck, don't they? Everyone knows show matches generally are fucking garbage. Even when they're like momentarily fun, it's just because you're bored and waiting for the final to be. You've got nothing else to do that day. It's your Sunday. You'd be waiting the whole time for this big match. The reason why show matches suck is very obvious, right? First of all, most of the people playing in them don't actually On the one hand, they don't play properly, but they also don't play a really exciting style and try and knife everyone. They just tend to play like a bad pickup, aka face it game, and they just never live up to the value. The name value of like, oh my God, you got all these, let Kenny S and get right and some sick player now. And they never seem like they play properly. They never play a good game. It's never good Counter-Strike. It's just a bad pickup game with insane skill disparity across the board. And people sometimes don't even communicate in the same language. So it just becomes an unserious match with people playing semi-seriously because at the same time they don't look bad, which means they don't provide entertainment, unfortunately. And then it just basically becomes a bad match when you've just finished the day before watching the semi-finals with two of these teams, where the stakes are huge and they might be playing. Semis nearly always beat finals because there's less people chalking in them. You're playing to get into the final, not worrying about losing the final. So semis tend to be the best matches. What we did is take two of the best matches of the tournament, sandwich it before the most important match with a totally shit match that just doesn't work. Like, what you need in a show match is all the stars to be like Max Holloway and point at the ground and just fucking bang. But they don't do that, do they? We all know that. They just play a bad pickup game. Now, true, compared to a show match, yeah, third place decided is a better game. It's a more seriously played game. It's at least two real teams playing. It's two teams where there's something on the line, prize money, VRS. Yes, compared to a show match, I agree, a third place match and third place decider is better. But spoiler, we don't have to have a show match. It doesn't have to be a third place decider. So beyond that, I actually think across the board, it's just worse. Like, first of all, I actually don't think third place deciders, that's why I asked all those questions for you to ponder. I don't think they're very competitive. I think this isn't a typically and consistently uncompetitive match. And the reason why is actually psychology. It's that this method of implementing the third place decider, which is it's a single elimination tournament. So the two teams that have been eliminated from the tournament in the semi-finals, as in they can't anymore win the tournament, now have to play another match. Now, if you don't know, one of my central principles of esports formats is my favorite formats are the ones where you are never playing a game unless you are alive in the tournament. I hate round-robin groups where you can lose all your matches, then play one more, and you can decide someone else's tournament fate or match fix or fuck around. I want it to be, if you're playing, you're still alive in the tournament. You if you keep winning, you will just at the end win the tournament if you don't lose. That's what I want to happen. Because this is not the case, because people have already been eliminated, you've got a match where I think people just don't care. If you're a team that was trying to win the tournament, you just don't care as much anymore. You can't win anymore. You've just had a heartbreak semi-finals loss in a tournament you thought you could win. You're not even going to come second. What, now you can win this match and come third? Teams who are like contenders and going for the championship and gunning for the top spot, they don't give a fuck about that. I think the only teams that care in the third place match are underdogs where it's a fluke they even made the semis. The semis is a high point for them. And in fact, to win in this like bullshit game and wow, I'm on finals Sunday. It's only for essentially noobs and people who shouldn't be there. It's for tourists, not for contenders. So I think people don't care as much and they don't lock in as much. Like, there's another thing. I think it is notorious. It is notorious that if there is a tournament favourite in that semi, think of the aforementioned PGL where Astralis beat FaZe. FaZe thought they were going to win that tournament probably. But Astralis, to even make the semis was good for them. I mean, remember, Cadian was trying to like play for his job pretty much, and they were all considered like washed players who were playing badly at the time. I think what happens is the tournament favourite just goes, whatever, another game, but we can't win anyway. I'm still pissed off about losing that semi. They just phone it in and don't play that well. The underdog plays way harder because it is their final in a way. I mean, they get prize money and points, which means so much more to people who very rarely get those things or get way, way less. If you are the team that's supposed to be trying to win the tournament, the prize money bump is nothing compared to what you get in salary and winnings anyway. And the VRS, yes, that does matter, but it's an abstract concept, as I'll get to. I don't think you can actually conceptually make that make you care in the moment to headshot someone more and follow a strat more when you're already out the tournament. So I think what happens is the big dog just phones it in and quite frankly, sometimes just wants it to be over quickly so they can just fucking stop and then just finish playing. They probably don't even want to watch the final in certain cases because they're so pissed off. So to me, yeah, in theory, they want to win it. It's still a professional match. They're still on camera. They don't want to be embarrassed. Yeah, they'd like the prize money. They'd like the VRS, but it's not that important. So I would just say this. Watch how often, not only do you get a surprise win from a big underdog in a third place match, and the other tournament favourite, that's the favourite, doesn't actually play that well. But even more so, watch how many times that if they win map one, But then lose map too big, they just fade, and the third map's just whatever, and it's just over. That is a pattern that plays out so often. It is crazy. So to me, it's like they want to just get it done. Like, let's just 2-0 this, get in and out, fuck off, we'll go back home. I think it means they just don't care. And I think what happens is once they're on the third map, they're tuned out, they're not, and they're just like, let's just get it over with. Let's, who gives it? Just give them the fucking money. Now look, yeah, to you or I, that's insane, isn't it? That's still money. That money might be like what you make an entire month, but these are pros who live in some fantasy land and making 20K a month salary. And then on top of that, getting the money from the fucking prize money, and they've just made the semis, and they're going to get a few thousand for that. So I'm sorry, these people, that doesn't matter to them as much. It just doesn't. It's why prize money is actually very hard to make players care about in professional sports when they put it in, like, football, for example, now. Now, the clubs care about it in football because it's really important to the club, but the players don't actually seem to give that much of a fuck. So if we want to look at some examples of this, I can actually show you some. Because I think there are four matches I can show you which really highlight how bad third place games are. So first of all, at the most recent tournament, EWC, won by Mongols, remember, technically, these are actually two results in the semis, which you could argue, it's debatable on one of them, these are upsets and underdog wins, right? Mongols, that is an underdog win. Team Vitality favoured to beat them. But, you know, you could argue the names in Falcons are bigger and more used to being in a final. The Roar don't really make big event finals. But anyway, the key thing is you get this third place decider where, cause Falcons actually haven't yet properly established themselves with Keisuke as like a true contender, they've just flattered to deceive, and then now they're starting to get better. In this match, I'm just going to say this. I actually, if you don't know, bet on Falcons and won. Because who do you think cares more about winning this third place game? Vitality, who's just lost to Mongols, who they probably do think are below them. And otherwise, they already know that Mouse has gone out of the tournament. Spirit went out. They're thinking at this point in time, this is our tournament to lose. They lose this match here. I don't think they gave a flying fuck about this game. And Zebu was ill. Meanwhile, Falcons, actually to make a semi is like a good result for them. It's a stepping stone. Hey, what are they playing for? Not only VRS, that matters. A little bit of prize money. Doesn't really matter them dropping a bucket. But hey, chance to beat Vitality, as they've done. They hadn't done that before with this core, had they? So they win this match. And what do you know? Vitality wins the first match and then just gets shit on the other two. Just like I said, basically. Then let's go to the first one of this year, Closure Poker. The aforementioned one I talked about before. So you look at that bracket. When you have this bracket drawn, remember, this is where nobody knows yet. This isn't the one that Mouse Sports is going hammer. So at this tournament, you look at this bracket. The favourites to win this tournament, by the way, are FaZe Clan because they've got the experience. Then you have, like, Falcons was dodgy. This is the one, remember, back when they had Dexter. They had Eternal Fire and Mongols are, like, in theory good teams in the sense that they get out of groups all the time, but they haven't done anything in playoffs yet. And Mouse, this is the first tournament where they were really good with Spinks. So in this round of eight, FaZe Clan should be thinking, I'm going to win this whole fucking tournament. Holy shit. So you win the Saw game, easy enough. Semi-finals, on paper you're supposed to beat Falcons, go to the final, get at least top two, probably win it, by the way. In fact, I think they'd maybe even played Mouse, who was the other finalist, and beaten them. Yeah, they did. They beat them in the air. So once you get to the semis, if you're FaZe Clan, we're going to win this tournament, boys. Like, we get to the final, especially we're playing Mouse. We win this whole event. No, we lose. So then we go to the third place decider. Astralis is the shock to be there. They got the benefit of Mongols choking. Then they played a decent game against Mouse, but Mouse ended up being better. We now know it's much, much better with the Brawlhalla roster. And so in this third place game, well, when have I seen this before, guys? The first map, it's like an epic back and forth. Fizz is trying their hardest. Like, this game was actually a memorable one. After that, oh, just capitulate completely. The other two just wins the games. Not by as big margins as the Vitality Falcons one, but still they win comfortably and they just win that one. Away, we're third place. Didn't end up mattering, by the way. Astralis was terrible after that. They had to kick Cadian. Let's go look at another couple, though, which is, I'll go back to 1.6 game. 1.6, it was classic that we had this in both ESWC, World Cyber Games, and IEM World Championship. So some of the majors of Counter-Strike. So 1.6, if we go back to the last ever IEM World Championship, it was in March of 2012. It was won by ESC, the four members of the Golden Five, and Pasha, basically. It was won over Na'Vi, who had been the best team for the last couple of years. And SK Gaming at the time had a super team because they brought in Trace. So you had Forrest, Getright, and Trace in the same line. If you don't know, those are three top 10 players of all time in 1.6, probably. Like, unbelievable players. You had a super team. Or admittedly, you've got a guy having to speak Swedish or English in Trace, which is a bit more difficult. And then, if you don't know, in the group stage, SK Gaming were the top team. Na'Vi barely got out. So did ESC. These end up being the top three teams in theory. The other group was actually quite a weaker one. Fnatic was a bit whack. This was the last tournament Khan ever played. Moscow 5 were Russians and they'd come on stronger when we had this lineup where Tuscan was in the pool. No, not Tuscan, Forge, because then they had Tuscan and Forge they were good on. And then Lions is actually the team, if you don't know, that was like, what's his name? Threat's team. So Furtas, Neil, they got like secondary players in the Swedish scene. It was actually kind of a shock they won this group. It was on some weird tie scenario with WinFact where some match happened I forget about. So anyway, you go to the playoffs, right? Even though Lions skip straight to the semis, when you get to this semi-final here, I can tell you everyone else in this semi is looking at Lions like barbecue chicken. That's going to be delicious. Because you have Na'Vi, amazing clutch team, win loads of majors, still a strong team at this point. They'd even won the IEM Kiev beforehand, admittedly with Starix IGL instead of Zeus. You have SK Gaming, like I said, they just brought Trace in as a last gasp Hail Mary for the end of 1.6 to try and be the best team because they kept losing to Na'Vi and the Poles at the end of the previous year, even though they won ESWC. You have ESC. By the way, these guys went on to win this major. They wanted to, again, win a massive major. They'd won the World Cyber Games the year before, but aside from that, generally, they'd been forced to be contenders, but just looking on and gatekeepers as other people won the majors. And then, as I say, you have Na'Vi. So on paper, you go look at this one, right? ESC manages to beat SK. It's a really close series. If you're SK, you're mega bombed. You don't even get to get top two. You thought you could win this event. Then Na'Vi takes care of Lions like you expect. So in the third place game, I can tell you right now, if you go look at these two rosters, this is like an all-star team of fucking Swedish players plus the best Danish player versus the people who are left over that aren't in Fnatic, like the third best on paper Swedish team of or Swedish core. And who wins it? Well, what do you know? Remember what I said earlier, guys? SK wins the first game, easily, actually. But then when they lose the second game, who gives a fuck? Let's just get out of there. They win. Enjoy your third place game. Enjoy your money. There wasn't even VRS back then, but enjoy all that. We're off. And then there's one more example, which is the previous year at ESWC, which took place in October of 2011. You had a tournament field where the best teams, same squads basically, is SK before they had Trace. They had Delpan, remember that amazing AWPA? They were a very good team at this point in time. The top three teams, by the way, is SK again, which is the Poles when they didn't have a sponsor. That's Golden 4 plus Pasha. And this is before they won World Cyber Games. And then you also have, I know it's confusing because ESC had like a Nordic team at the time, but that was a different ESC. And then you have Na'Vi. And at this point in time, by the way, Na'Vi has won four majors in a row. So they're an amazing team. So you have a very strong field here. You go through here again. Oh, what do you know? They're all winning their group. Win the group, win the group, win the group. Mouse Sports wasn't actually as good at this point in time. If you don't know, look, there's a scuffed Mouse Sports lineup because this is after Six died, unfortunately. This is the year after Six died. So if you look, Capio's already like semi-retired. You brought in Carrigan because he knows German. You have Ninja, who was never that good a player, in my opinion. You have Roman, who's very good, but he's at the end of his time. Zonix was like an up-and-comer at this point in time. I know now he's like a famous streamer. At the time, he was like a nobody. And Godby's still sort of good, but it seemed like his heart was never into the same. Because obviously, look, see, Capio now plays for Alternate. So Mousespot's not the same force they once were. It's actually kind of surprising they won this group. People would have expected maybe like Fnatic 2 or something. So in the playoffs, again, probably think they can win this major. They lose to Na'Vi. At the time, a rival that they're going back and forth with. They won that ESC, didn't they? The Samsung European, SEC rather, Samsung European Championship. SK beats Mouse Sports. And in the final, Get Right carries the final and SK beats Na'Vi, which is a big result, by the way, for the Get Right and Forest to win a major with Robban in SK. In the third place decider, I think you know where this is going. Mouse Sports is easily the worst of these four teams, by the way. The other three teams think they can win this major, I can tell you. So in this match, the team with the most to gain is Mouse. These are legends, by the way, the Poles. They not only win the WCG after this, they win the major that I just showed you afterwards. So what happens here? It's a very close decider game on the first one. Again, wins the second map, but then the third map is actually a blowout in MR15 for Mouse. And this is the game, if you've ever seen the clips, I actually recorded a lot myself, but they're not on the SK Gaming website because they disconnected the server from the third-party video player. This is the match where, if you ever saw it, Taz was talking mad shit because they were on like opposite sides of a set of PCs to the other team. And then even actually Young Zonix was even trying to give it back to him and Carrigan was shouting stuff back. So it was kind of almost like a fun old school. But as usual, the underdog team wins it. Now, I have obviously selected the ones where the underdog won. A lot of times the favourite still wins. It depends on who the matchup is. But I think I've already shown you, these aren't good matches. So one of the problems you have is this. As well as the psychological weight, anchor, albatross around your neck, dragging you down the millstone, being that teams just don't care if they were one of the contenders and they're psychologically like diminished when it comes to a third place decider. There's also the factor that what are the benefits of the third place decider for the team? Well, there's two reasons, isn't there? There's prize money and there's points, VRS points. The problem is those things are abstract concepts that don't make you lock in. They're just too abstract to make you think in the moment, fuck, there's money and points on the line here. I would like it to be that people could look at that and go, oh, but I need to win a bit more money. Oh, this is important for VRS. That's just not how players are, I'm afraid. It would be like thinking, it's why people do this to Falcons, for example, or they did to Cloud9 people. People think if you have a massive salary, it also should motivate you. It doesn't. You're not having like a timeout when you're playing badly and go, wait a minute, guys, let me pump the bank up. Fucking hell, that's a lot of money. Tell you what, now I'm going to win. Like, that's not the way human beings work. Once you meet the basic, you know, Maslow hierarchy of needs, like baseline, it's why this is about $60,000 a year, where you've got like, you know, food, shelter, I don't know about sex, you'd have to have a relationship, but you'd have a chance to if you've got some money. Once you've got those basics covered and you're not going to starve, so you're not in survival mode or fight or flight type thinking, well, at that point in time, you're motivated based on other factors like, are you a winner? Is this an opponent you really want to beat? Are you in your prime? Do you have like aspirations and motivations to do more? It's not based on like, yeah, but we get some money and some points, lads. All right, now I'm going to play awesome. That's just not the way it works. So one of my problems is, oh, by the way, you could also go vice versa. In the same way as having a massive salary doesn't make Falcons players play better, I would go ahead and guess with no actual specific factual knowledge, but I can speculate based on what I know about the industry, that I would bet Mongols players make very little money. I wouldn't be surprised if they are like the 15th highest paid team in country, or worse in terms of salary, but you wouldn't tell in the server. They play like they're being paid Falcons money. You could believe it was the other way around in some of their matches, right? So in the same way as the big salary doesn't motivate you, I don't think the little salary is what demotivates you. I think if you're a winner and you're a great player and you're locked in, you're locked in. That's secondary to things like points and prizes. So I think the bigger problem also with this is you're getting official LAN matches that I consider sort of fake or fugazi results, like not real. Because first of all, then it's never, these matches are never as tense as you'd hope they would be. They're never the crazy back and forth slogfest that semi-finals can be. Also then, because I think they're sort of fake results, when you then get a scalp, like I'm supposed to now say, hey, Falcons is one of the only teams this year to beat Vitality in a best of three. You had Eternal Fire, now Aurora at the beginning of the year. Then you had Mongols twice. That is it. Like, who else? Oh, and then you had Mouse. They are the only teams who have, it's only 40. Oh, wait, now welcome Falcons to that group. No, don't welcome Falcons. The other ones win in real matches that were still alive in the tournament. In semi-finals on LAN. Who gives a fuck that Falcons just won that bullshit one at EWC? Does anyone really care about that result? I don't. Like, look, it helps that Falcons show they can thought theoretically do it, but it doesn't really count as the win in the same way, right? So to me, that result just means so much less than if it had taken place in live bracket play. In fact, I'll go one further. Here's how you sort of know third place deciders suck. Even a quarterfinal between those two teams is way more hype and would be a way better match, in my opinion, than this third place decider that's later in the tournament for more prize money, more VRS points. Now, there are exceptions to third place decider sucking. There's an obvious one. Third place decider is already built in to a double elimination bracket, isn't it? So if you're, the reason why it doesn't suck in a double elimination bracket is it's not a separate match. It's still part of if the lower bracket team wants to try and win the tournament, because think about it. Whereas this match is decides who comes in third and fourth, you have a match that decides who comes fourth in a low bracket. It's obviously like the third to last tournament match in the tournament, isn't it? Or fourth, depending on when you play the upper bracket final. Then you have a match that decides who comes third, which is the last match in the lower bracket, often called the loser's final, right? Now, when that happens, the loser of that finishes third, but the winner can still win the tournament. He can come from the lower bracket, can't he? As has happened many times in League of Legends, StarCraft, Dota, fighting games, etc. Now, what's key here is that match, that lower final that decides who comes third, because both teams, whichever one wins, can still win the tournament, There is no, like, this feels like an exhibition. Like, nah, who cares? Phone it in, let's get out of it. If you win that match, I mean, most formats, by the way, on the same day, you're going to play the final. Of course you're super locked in and hyped for that one. That's a fucking huge game for you. Then also, there was actually a single elimination tournament that did have an exception because it actually created one of the only external factors for motivation that I think can exist in the game, which was the World Cyber Games. If you don't know, the World Cyber Games was a tournament organized by Samsung that ran like kind of like WESG. You had to all be from the same country. And it was essentially an Olympics of gaming. And so what you would get is, what do you get in the Olympics? You get the gold medal for first, you get the silver for second. But crucially, you don't just get prize, you get a bronze medal for third place. And since the World Cyber Games had an Olympic feel, you represent your country, you go there with your whole country's team. Sometimes you're even called like Team Poland or whatever instead of the actual team name that we know, like the Frag Executors or whatever. And you have the whole thing of like, when you go home, at least in the media, they're going to present like it's the Olympics of gaming and they're going to go, wow, a player just got a bronze medal. That has all like social elements in it. That's history. Sometimes these events also had massive fanfare. Like there were big stadiums before we had them like that with crowds. And again, they play like your national anthem. You get to stand on the podium. Those things do matter. That actually, I do think, made people care about winning a bronze medal way more than people know. If people don't know, what put Ukrainian CS on the map was Blade with his amazing gaming line. It was Starix in it. And like Chaos, if you know the guys I work from the commentary team over there, that team snatching the bronze medal at the 2007 World Cyber Games was a massive shock. And that put them on the map before there was even a twinkle of an RV in Arbalet's Kazakhstani eye years later when he made the squad for 2010. So the Olympics factor does matter in that regard. I'll tell you another reason why third place deciders suck, because it's an extra day of play. Now, here's the difference. I don't mind it being an extra day of play in a double elim format, because typically that tends to be part of your disadvantage for being in the lower bracket. You have to play first, and even if you win, have a little break and come back and play the final against a guy who didn't have to play an extra game and he just watched you play. That's a way of giving an advantage to the upper bracket team and making it so you're punished for going to the lower bracket, since you're going to have spent a life that the upper bracket team didn't once you get to the final and we don't have any bracket reset, right? That's actually a feature, not a bug in that case. Now, the reason why in these single elimination tournaments that aren't World Cyber Games, I also don't want a third place game, it's because let the team go home a day early, or let them play one fewer day and one fewer match. They already complain they're all burned out, they're having to skip tournaments, they're away from home, too many days on the road. Let them go home one day early. I think that's, again, a positive, not a negative, that they get to go home one day early when they can't win the tournament anymore. Let them watch the fucking match on the flight or back home, depending on when they get their flight. Now, what could you put in its place is the obvious question, right? If I'm going to criticise it, what could you put there instead? Because I don't want it to be a show match. Right, there's two ways you do it. You either actually reverse engineer a good show match, like I say. I don't know, maybe you put in people where there's beef between them, or you do forfeits, like you get to pie each other in the face, or maybe you put UFC-style performance bonuses. The first person to get a knife gets $1,000, or if you fucking no-scope, so, you know what I mean? You do something, or if there's a top pro in the game, whoever gets the most kills against Donk or whatever, assuming he's not in the final, gets to whatever it might be, they get do something silly like Donk has to fucking put a goat crown on them or some shit like that, something funny. That might be fun. And if you tell people, don't play seriously, play for fun, that would be all right. If you had, even have, by the way, here's an idea I've thought of ages ago. Have open comms between the teams. Have them playing, but comming while they're doing it. And they're like shit-talking like an old-school lad. Like, you little fuck, you think you're going to get me? Oh, tap it, tap the bomb, ho, I'm not peeking. That would be sick. Or lastly, just have another real match, but not in that competition, take place there and have that be part of the prize of being in that tournament. So how about the women's one? ESL Impact, you all pretend you watch because you care so much about Imperial Valkyries, you fake fucks. You don't ever watch it. You don't even know how good they are. You don't ever watch their finals, even though you claim to support women. Why not have their final take place as the match before the male final? They already did it, I think, at like Blast or whatever. It's a good idea. Then how, and it's also a great prize for them, if they win and get to the final, that's a big deal that they get to play in front of a bigger audience as the Warble Pact, as it were. Then how about, they used to have those old ESL Challenger events, have a tier 2 LAN that you work with or partner with, where their final gets to be played on the finals day before the main final. That's again a massive fucking prize for them. Bigger audience, would be a real competitive match, admittedly maybe at a low level, but it could be actually a good game. So to me, third place deciders actually just fucking suck, and I hope they go away as soon as possible.
I don't forget the people that support me, and in the case of this video, that would be Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Jason, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Tosh, T Toucan, and you know who I'm always going to give the biggest shout out to, my boy Jerky's Minion. Do you want to ask a question for my video AMA? Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Maybe you want to find out who the next guest is on one of my interviews that I've already recorded but not yet released. Or maybe you want to take part in one of those fabled long-form discussions where you get to decide the topics. With any of those perks or others tickle your fancy, simply click on the Patreon link in the description box below and put your money where your mouth is and join the Scrilluminati today.